the entire country of the Republic of Liberia, the Providence Baptist Church. He is a trained clergyman, ordained Baptist clergyman, earned a Master's Divinity degree from Princeton Seminary and a Doctor of Ministry degree from Princeton Seminary. He has served churches throughout America, most recently in Grand Rapids, Michigan. And over the last decade or so, he has been the under-shepherd of Providence, and under his leadership, amazing, miraculous things has continued to happen. Millions of dollars have poured in from philanthropies who said, I believe in the God in you and the vision that he's given you for the people of Providence and Monrovia, Liberia, and beyond. So he has started schools, health clinics, planted churches around the country, and continues to be an advocate on the world stage for investment in his homeland. He and I met in seminary at Princeton back in 1995, and again, as I said earlier, little did we know where God would have us and what we would be doing together. And so it is my delight and honor every first Sunday in September to bring my brother, my friend, the Reverend Dr. Samuel Broomfield Rees, here to preach for what we call Liberian Sunday, an opportunity for our brothers and sisters from Liberia particularly to help lift up the name of the Lord in this place. And no better person to do that than my friend and my brother. He is married to a beautiful woman of faith, and his family is here. I'm sure he will introduce them. And here's the seed I want to sow in us, Shiloh, that in three more years, 2020, three plus more years, the historic Providence Baptist Church of Monrovia will be celebrating its bicentennial, its 200th anniversary. Its 200th anniversary. And it is my prayer that we will be able to take a contingent of Shiloh members, the largest we've ever taken, over to Africa to be a part of that historic celebration. So I want you to start saving your pennies right now. Amen. Because we're going to have to get visas and plane tickets and all that stuff over the next 3 years so we can fly into Roberts International Airport and drive a good hour and a half into downtown Monrovia on the top of Providence Hill and worship with my brother as they bring in 200 years of lifting up the name of Jesus. Give God a praise offering for the Reverend Dr. Samuel Broomfield Reeves. The next voice you're going to hear will be that of my friend and brother. Stretch your hands towards him in the pulpit and say, Lord, bless me through your servant, Reverend Dr. Reeves. Challenge me, convict me, inspire me to be closer to you, O God, through this man of God's word. In Jesus' name, amen. Bless you. Pastor Reeves will now bring us the message of the day.
Let the church say amen. Oh, come on, shout hallelujah. Come on, give God another hand of praise. It's good to be back home, away from home. You didn't know this was my home too, huh? Amen, amen. Glad to be with my good friend and brother. I think about those Princeton days. Thank God. It's good to be back here. It's good to see, again, all of you that I taught, I left back in Monrovia, and you follow me because you look just like the folk I left back there. Amen? Amen, amen. So thank you, Melanie. It's good to see you again. I told you I was just a messenger last year, and the real messenger has come. Amen, amen. Now, Pastor, I look around and there's some fine sisters in the house. But please excuse me, there's one that surpasses them all. May I ask my darling wife to stand, Alice? And we want to thank God. It's good to be here with her this year. And I know some of you are wondering, I wonder where he got his good looks from. Let me just tell you, let me ask my mom to stand. That's where I got my good looks from. And so I like to ask the rest of my family, my sisters, my brother, my nieces, and all to stand here with my other brother, Reverend Robert Reeves. Yeah. They all here. It's good to have them. They got my back. Amen. And when I look upon the congregation, my goodness, what happened to my congregation? Some of them have moved over here. I see, well, all the Providence members in the house, will you stand? Some of you who I gave permission to come and those who I didn't, will you all come? Will you all stand? Amen, 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 amen. Good to see all of you. We're all the Africans in the house. If you're not from Liberia, somewhere on the continent of Africa, if you're in the house this morning, will you stand as well? All of you. Amen, amen. West, South, East Africa. Amen, amen, amen. I'm glad to see some of my seminary students from back home who are now new students at Princeton. Come on, just wave to the congregation. Good to see you, young men, good preachers of God. Amen. Now, the rest of you didn't know that you're from Liberia. Didn't somebody tell you? All of you are Liberians. God bless you. God bless you. And so it's good to be back in the house of the Lord. Amen. Amen. It's always good to be here with my good friend and brother, you know. When you love the Lord and you love God's people, real men can look at each other in public and say, I love you in the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Now listen, Mieta over here is the chairman for the planning committee at Shiloh with reference to the 200th anniversary of Providence Baptist Church. She's the chairman. Every church that we are all part of has a lady in that church. That's a lady in that church who's going to help plan on this side of the ocean the 200th anniversary. And then they will make that connection with us in Liberia. And come February 2020, there's going to have a wonderful, wonderful time in Monrovia. Amen. So start saving your pennies and your dimes and your quarters because you're going to make the trip. You didn't know that, huh? I just told you. Amen. Amen. Let me say a big thank you to Pastor and to Shiloh for Reverend Maria Smith. She's our Director of Christian Education at Providence. She's studying at Princeton, and she's working here. And Pastor Armstrong is going to make sure she works smart. Amen? And keep her brain functioning so when she gets back to Monrovia in a few months, we'll put her right back to work. Amen? And we'll be sending another student here. And the goal is to train all of our senior staff so that they can carry the burden and help to move God's church. Build a church where lives are radically changed and disciples are intentionally made. That's our vision. Amen. Our former director of youth ministry, Reverend Thomas Wilson, right here. One of the finest preachers in Liberia. Amen, amen, amen. God bless you, God bless you. You know, I was trained the hard way. I had this old man who trained us when we were seminarians, and we would come to church and we would sit down next to him, and the choir would sing the sermon hymn, and he would turn to me and say, Sam, you're preaching this morning. And he didn't tell me before that time, huh? And so all these preachers know when they show up in church on Sunday morning, they're ready to preach because I just might turn to them and say, Thomas, you're preaching this morning. Amen. And so they're all fine preachers. Amen. Amen. Thank you. It's good to be here. After all of that stuff is out of the way, look in your seats. There are some seat belts. Untie yourselves. And let's have worship this morning. Amen. 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 Listen, every now and then, if you feel happy as the Spirit of the Lord move in this place, just borrow me a few amens. Why? Because if you help me preach the sermon, listen, we might be out of here early. But if I have to preach the sermon all by myself, we will be done when I'm finished. And so just borrow me a few amens. Let's hear from the Word of God today. Come on, stand with me real quickly and then turn in your Bibles to the book of Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25, like I say to the folk at Providence, I say to Charlotte, just in case Matthew is in the New Testament. Amen. Matthew chapter 25, if you beginning at verse 14 to 27, if you're already there, say amen. If you're still looking, say, wait a minute, preacher. I'll wait a few seconds. Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 to 27. I wouldn't read all of that. I'll just read a few verses on the top, and the rest of it will be heard in our sermon. Matthew chapter 25. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. Then the man who had received, so also the one who had 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. Let us pray. God of grace and God of glory, on this church, on this thy people, pour o'er thy power. Lord, grant us wisdom and grant us courage for the facing of this hour. Lord, may I yield this sermon to your utterance, my sight to your faith, and my spiritually reconstructed imagination to your divine inspiration. Lord, speak for us. Speak through us. Help us to hear from heaven today. May the words of my mouth and the collective meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. Just tap the person when you get to your seat. Tap the person sitting next to you. Tell them the pastor needs your help this morning. Amen. 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 And listen, if we were to draw on a theme for today's message, that theme would come to us in the form of a question this morning. The question is, what are you doing with what you have? You see, what are you doing with what you have? Listen, the question assumes certain things. The question assumes that you already have something, that you are not without what you need. The question assumes you have something, but the question asks itself and asks us this morning, what are you doing with it? Are you with me? Listen, church, God has given each of us special abilities, and he expects us to be faithful in using what he has given us. Are you with me? Listen, instead of holding our gifts up, we are to invest them in kingdom service. Oh, you didn't hear me. Let me give that to you one more time for free. Instead of holding on to what God has given you and thinking that you own it, listen, the text really helps us understand that you are to use it and invest it in kingdom service. Are you with me? Listen, we are responsible for what we have been given. This parable, this text, this scripture this morning reminds us that we weren't saved to sit. We weren't saved to soak. We weren't saved to sour. Listen, God saved us to serve. Listen, on that day when you gave your life to Jesus Christ, made him the head of your life, the savior of your soul, the reason he didn't zap you, take you to heaven, is because he has service for you to perform here on this earth. That's why you're here. You're saved to serve. Listen, the parable begins, according to Jesus, he says that a master calls 3 of his servants, to each he gives a different amount of talent. My. Listen. Why? Because the text says, and Jesus really knew why he gave them different amount of talent, is because he knew what each person could handle. Listen, I'm glad. Listen, Jesus said, you man, you can take five. You bastard girl, you can take three. And you boy, you can take only one. Because Jesus knew the capacity of each of the ones. He had given the different amount of gifts. Listen, so God knows what God has given us because God knows our abilities. Listen, the key in this text, I'm going to take my time, Pastor. At the 8 o'clock, I was a little bit in haste because I wanted those folks to go home. So you come to church this morning. So I'm going to take my time this morning. I feel like preaching this morning. Listen. The key in this text is not the amount of talents, but the level of the amount of responsibility. Listen, it doesn't matter how many gifts or talents or abilities we have been given. Listen, what's most important, church, is that God expects us, the same of us, the same level of responsibility. He gave some 4 and 5 because he knows you have the capacity. Get one because he knows that's your capacity. Give some 3, that's why he knows you can handle, because he's the God who made you in the first place. When he made you, he gave you a certain capacity. That's why he's matching that capacity with the gifts he's given you to do the work he's called you to do. Listen, church, even though you have a different amount of investments of gifts and abilities distributed in the body of Christ, we all are expected to use them responsibly because he's given them to us. What are you doing with what you have? Now, when I think about these 3 men, I think about 3 kinds of people in church. Are you with me? Listen, let's look at the differences in the perspective between the first 2 servants and the third, because these perspectives really tell us about the kind of perspective the church folk have in church, in spite of who we are and what God has given us. Are you ready, church? Listen. The text tells us that the first 2 were determined to make a profit. Oh, I'm glad there's some folk in church who are determined to make a profit, because the church needs some profit, needs some money, needs some gifts to keep on keeping on and winning the loss for Jesus Christ. It says the first 2 were determined to make a profit, but listen, the third was determined not to take a loss. My goodness. First 2 determined to make a profit. The third man was determined not to take a loss. Are you with me? Listen, it says the first 2 were willing to work smart and take a risk. When I got back home many years ago, I said to Thomas and to Maria and the other folk on the staff at Providence, I said, listen, I've come back here because God called me. But let me tell you, I have not come to work hard. I've come to work smart, because I serve a smart Savior and a smart spirit. When you work smart, the Spirit moves and works with you to get things done. Listen, the first 2 were willing to work smart and take risk, but the third wasn't willing to risk or work. He wanted to hang on to what he had. Are you with me? Oh, I'm not done. Listen. The first 2 desire to advance the master to mean, because they knew what they had wasn't theirs. But the third had no interest or connection to the master's. Oh yeah, there are folk in church who might look like church folk, but they got no business, got no interest in the master's demeanor. Let me tell you, while the first 2 were working to expand the kingdom of our Savior and make sure the word of God was shared, the other guy said, I'm going to sit around shallow and just do what I got to do. Are you with me? Listen. The first 2 view money and the gifts that they had as an opportunity, but the third saw it as a problem. My goodness. Sometimes, listen, when you try to find the answers to problems that God has given you, there are folk who all they do in church is define the problems in your answers. Are you with me? When you try to make sure the church grows and things get better, all they sit around church and do is say, oh, Pastor, we've never done it that way before. Oh, you know, if we had only, come on, you need to come up with some positive stuff. Listen, there's too many negative folk at church. Are you with me? Oh no, maybe you so sanctified at Shiloh. I'm just talking about Providence. Are you with me? Listen, it says that the first two servants allowed the master's gift to change their lives. My. Why the third refused to let the master's gift touch his life? Why the other were investing? Because the more you invest in others, the more God sends blessings back to you. But the third man took it and buried it and said, I got nothing. That those folk at Shiloh think they're going to work me to death. I'm just going to sit here until they do what they got to do, pastor. Listen, church, that's not all. It says the first two servants realized that the level of responsibility of the gifts that they had received and sought to please the master. Woo! My. Listen, then the third lost the responsibility that his gift had given him and was not a bother. What are you doing with what you have? Listen, let me help us understand another reason why the third servant buried his talent. I know some of you already started to point your finger at that. That's the bad church member. You always see the stuff in somebody else. You can't see it in yourselves, huh? Listen. Let me help you understand why this man did what he did. Listen, in the day and the time of this text, this was a perfectly acceptable way of being free of risk and safeguarding your valuable. It was also a long-standing rabbinic teaching that anyone who buries money and that has been put in his or her charge is no longer liable for its safety. So now you can understand perhaps why the man did what he did. Are you with me? So the third servant took the safest path to ensure the money's safety. Woo. So he buried it. He buried his talents. And he felt secure in the knowledge that he had taken a safe, a prudent, a risk-free course of action on his master's behalf. The third servant, church, listen, thought that he could play it safe and escape his responsibility by bearing his only talent. Shiloh, let me say to you, it is easy and safe to talk about this man and maybe stone him if we had a chance. But let me bring it home to church today, this morning. Are you with me? Listen, like this servant, too many times folk in the church, whether at Providence or at Shiloh, too many times we want to play it safe. Don't want to take the risk and get involved. We want to play it safe. Don't want to get our hands dirty. We want to play it safe. Don't want our egos questioned. Want to play it safe. Don't want our status bruised and our relationship messed up and our faith tested. We want to play it safe. Don't want our love display. Want to play it safe. Don't want our God exposed. Don't want folk on the job in the neighborhood where you play to know about the God that you serve. So you play it safe and nobody know about the God that you have. What are you doing with what you have? Therefore, we buried our gifts, sit on our talents, and refuse to expose our abilities and ignore our responsibilities, and we want to play it safe. Like the third man, it is much less trouble. Everywhere you go, there is trouble. Everywhere you go, there is trial. But we want to play it safe because we don't want to get in trouble. Listen, like the third man, it is much less trouble to keep ourselves to ourselves. Are you with me? to bury whatever talents we possess in the ground of our being, to hide our light under a bushel, to take cover under the shadow of being too busy, to wait until they call us first, to be mediocre in what we do instead of giving God our best, to be spectators instead of getting involved in the things of God. Listen, church. Well, I'm glad for that. Amen. Listen, church. All three servants in this text were given different amount of talents because each of them had different capacities and different abilities and different capabilities, but he gave them the same amount of responsibility to invest. Is there any bangers here? To invest, to loom, to develop, to improve, to expand, to increase, to use, to the service of God. That they were there for the advancement of the kingdom of God. What they were given was to be used for the master's good and not just for themselves. What are you doing? I'm not asking how much you have. What are you doing? I'm not asking how long you've had what you have. What are you doing with what you have? I'm not asking what's the complexion of what you have or the geographic location of what you have. I'm not asking which bank it is in, whether Bank of America or Wells Fargo. I'm not asking where it is located. I'm asking what are you doing with what you have. Like these servants, we have received God-given gifts and we are charged with the responsibilities of using them to the best of our abilities. In this text, particularly between verses 26 and 30, we are charged, a challenge, that service in the kingdom is not about the amount of gifts and talents, but about the amount and level of our responsibilities of service. That's why we don't need you to compare yourselves to anybody else. That's why we don't say, sit back there and whine. I wonder why they don't let me sing like this wonderful choir director. Listen, because if that happens, you don't have the capacity. When you sing up here, nobody else gonna come to church after that. You got your capacity, and God wants you to use it where you are with what you have so that the kingdom of God can be advanced. That's why we don't talk about competition in the church. That's why it's not about how rich or how poor you are, because God doesn't ask that every one of us give the same amount. He says, just give one-tenth of what you have been given. Church, whether you have 5, 55, 333, 1, or just 1, we must take the risk and use what we have and get involved. You see, too often folk at church talk about, oh, I got faith. I like to see, I like when I go to churches and folk stand up here and say, the Lord is the head of my life and all that good stuff. Stuff. That's for us to consume, because God knows better than what you just said. Are you with me? Listen, because God knows when the going gets tough and the tough gets good, you forget sometimes that He's the God that you serve. He says, listen, I've given you stuff. I blessed you with gifts. Stop talking that stuff in front of the church. Get involved. Let folks see how your life and your gifts are going to transform Shiloh and Trenton for the kingdom of God. Let me tell you, I don't know about you, but I know the faith of this man sitting over here, and I think he knows like I do. Listen, that the God that we serve has never been the one to play it safe. My, he never been the one to play. How do you know that, Pastor Reed? I'm glad you asked, Deaconesses. Listen. A God not interested in taking risk would have never made the creation. with all of its inconsistencies, all of its crisis and problems, a God not interested in taking risk would have never created Adam and Moses. A God not interested in taking risk would have never made Noah and Abraham. A God not interested in taking risk would have never made David and Judas. A God who was never interested in taking risk would have never made Peter, because you know before Peter was made, before the beginnings of time, that the God will mess up and try to shut him and mess things up. But it's a God who's interested in taking risk. Listen, if this God was not a God who was interested in taking risks, he would have never made the third servant in this text. Because when he stood from the beginnings of time and he looked through time and space, he saw that this man was messed up just like you and I. If this God was never interested in taking risks, you and I would not have been made. So that's why the text, the scripture says in the word of God, that before the beginnings of time, God had already provided a solution to the problem that we were about to mess up and create. He's a God interested in taking risk. If God risked everything in the person of Jesus Christ for the sake of our salvation, doesn't it seem likely that this same God in the person of Jesus Christ might expect more than a laid back, come go with me, more than a get involved every now and then, more than a keep it safe only when I got some money, more than a don't get involved when it costs me too much, more than I'm going to take all that I got, it's all about me, my, and myself, and I'm going to put it in the can, and I'm going to sit in the can, and I'm not worried about nobody else. It might be about a God who says to us, I'm not worried about your status quo, your feel good, your self-seeking, your safety conscience, too basic to get involved in the things of the church. I made you. I took the risk of making sure you got what you needed. I want some folk who are ready to take the risk to transform the kingdom of our Savior. What are you doing with what you have? Sometimes we take so much and do so little. We have to take the little we may have and do much. The kingdom of God. This is the Christian lifestyle. A readiness to spend and be spent. Spend first and be spent. I learned something sometimes early this morning, and it kind of renewed my whole concept of tithing and giving to God, that whenever you have a need, don't put your hands out first to see who's going to meet that need. Whenever you have a need, plant a seed. When you have a need and you give to God and say, I got a need, I need to build this place, $6 million, give some money away and watch God mess you up and see how mysterious God's going to work. Because what you say to the world, they say, that stuff doesn't make any sense. That stuff must be dumb. We're looking for money to build this place. You're talking about giving them away. Listen, when you plant a seed, you say to God, you got it all. I'm going to depend on you to send what I need when I need to do what I got to do for the kingdom of the Savior. In this parable, Jesus tells us of the need to use what God has given us. God has given us gifts and talents and abilities and the capacity. And they are what we can handle. Oh, you know, every time I go over that, it messes with me. That my, whatever God has given me is what I can handle. So I'm trying not to be like this fine pianist over here, because he can handle what God gave him. Huh? Listen, I couldn't handle that because my late father was a great musician. I didn't stay home long enough to learn to play the piano, and I think God knew I couldn't handle that, because if he had given it to me, something would have happened. I could handle something else.
So you ought not to be jealous and envious of somebody else. You ought to introspect, look at where I am, who I am, what do I have, or what God wants me to do with what I have. Story is told of two friends. I'm coming home now. One named Lie and the other Truth. These two friends decided to go swimming. When they got to the pool, they decided to do something different. Not the stuff you and I do when we go to the pool. We go to the Walmart, we buy our swimming trunks, and we put them on, we get in the water. These two friends decided to go skinny dipping. You know what I'm talking about. They took off all their clothes and jumped in the pool. They were just having a ball. They were playing a game to see who could hold their breath under the water the longest. So Lie said, let's play. Truth said, okay. Truth went down. Lie stayed up. Truth seemed to be winning the game. Are you with me? Lie jumped out of the water, grabbed his clothes and Truth's clothes, and went walking home. All the while, Truth is under the water thinking that he is winning the game. Says Melanie. Truth jumps out of the water, looks around, and says, but where did Lies go? Look on the side of the river and say, oh, but where did my clothes go? So now Truth is forced to walk all the way home totally naked. My goodness. Truth goes straight to Lie's house. Knock on the door, bang, bang, bang. Lies comes to the door. Truth says, man, why did you leave me at the pool? Why did you take my, in fact, why are you wearing my clothes? Lie said, I've been home playing video games all day. I don't know what you're talking about. So they started to argue back and forth. The argument got so heated and moved outside on the streets. People started gathering around. Lie said, I want you to know you took my clothes. If you don't give me my clothes, I might bust your head. They went back and forth. And the people standing around that day, the crowd was forced to ask themselves a question. And that's the same question I want to ask you today. Who to believe? Lies in Truth clothing or the naked truth? Listen, church, listen, Shiloh. Life's journey is always live with the quest, with this question in mind. Who do we believe? Lies in Truth clothing that we have what we have, and we've made ourselves who we are, and the things we have as gifts, we give it to ourselves because we're smarter and we're good, and we can do with it any kind we want to do with it. We are not to be responsible at all. Who do you believe? Lies in Truth clothing. All the naked truth. That what we have is not ours. That like these servants, we are only stewards and not owners. Like them, our job is to manage the gifts and abilities that God has given us. That's why the psalmist says in Psalm 24 verse 1 that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Who do you believe? lies in truth clothing, all the naked truth that we are given, what we can handle. That in fact that you got some stuff, but the problem with you is that you don't know you can handle it. That the naked truth is what you have, you can handle. That like these servants, each of us has been given gifts and talents, and according to our abilities, that our responsibilities is tied to our ability. That there's no need to compare or to compete. Why, Pastor Sam, I'm glad you asked, Josephine. Because God's kingdom does not operate according to what is fair. You see, you and I play with fair. God knows nothing about fair. God knows what we need and gave us what we need. That fair stuff messed with us and put us in the dungeon. We are not to trust in the word fair. We are to trust in the word God. Oh, I've been in the church all my life, and yet this new one come, and pastor just give him all the chance. Listen, God, in God's business, there's no fair. Who do you believe? Lies in truth clothing. All the naked truth. That we must invest. We must use what we have been given. That like these servants, our problem is not that we have nothing. No, that's not our problem. But our problem is too often, we do too little, or we do nothing with what we have. God has made tremendous investment in us. Who do you believe? Lies in truth clothing, or the naked truth that a day of accountability is coming. That the stuff and the gift and the abilities he has given you, whether you as young as my niece Teresa or as old as this young lady over here, let me tell you, the day is coming when God will say, what did you do with what I gave you? Who do you believe? Lies in truth clothing. That after all these years, it's just these last 2 months that there are some folk who are interested in your communities and in your well-being, and they want you to vote for them. Who do you believe? Lies in truth clothing, or the real truth. Who do you believe that these years you will struggle to make sure your children have adequate in education and can live in God's way, but now things are not what they seem, and folk want to tell you that you just give up what you taught you believe in and just follow me? Who do you believe? Lies in truth clothing, or the naked truth? The country that says the hope unborn had died, but a God that said, in the death of hope, there is a resurrection in Jesus Christ. Who do you believe? Lies in truth clothing, or the naked truth. That we are seeing people from different sides of the Atlantic, but throughout our history, we have been pitched against each other. We want me to believe that everybody who comes from on that side called Africa is some kind of prince or don't know anything. And everybody who comes from this side of the Atlantic are all drug dealers and bad people. Who do you believe? The naked truth or lies in truth clothing? That we are God's people, created in the kingdom of God, made by God. It doesn't matter who we are, where we come from. We are one people created in the kingdom of God. Who do you believe? Lies in truth clothing, all the naked truth. You can trust in God. Doesn't matter how young you are, how old you are. Don't believe that lie in truth clothing. That you can get too old to serve God. And so we get caught up in this syndrome called retirement. I just stopped by to tell you that the naked truth is there is no retirement in the kingdom of God. All you do is change some old tires, put on some new tires, keep on trucking in the kingdom of God, doing God's work until God calls you home. What? Who do you believe? Lies in truth clothing. And I'm or the naked truth that I'm gonna wait until I get just like grandmama before I serve the Lord. I'm gonna sow all the wild oaks. And when I can't move anymore, and I'm gonna come to God, Lord, take me and use me. All the naked truth, God can use you where you are, who you are, doesn't matter where you are. Who do you believe? Lies in truth clothing. God, I ain't got enough time. But let me tell you, the God who's giving you time that you can't recognize you have enough of is the one who says, I am time and beyond time. If you need time, come ask me. I give the time to you to serve the church. Who do you believe lies in truth clothing? Or the naked truth?
Deacons, deaconess, clergy, help me extend the invitation to discipleship. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is the truth. And we thank God, I'd rather have Jesus than anything else, particularly lies, trying to dress up in truth's clothing. Amen. 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 So we want to extend this invitation to someone. Anyone and everyone who has never made a decision to trust Jesus. Jesus who says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except they come through me. So if you're here today, we want to invite you. If you've never trusted God before, if you've never let go, this is your chance to give us your hand, but give God your heart. So I don't know who you are and whose you are, but I invite you to come. Come to Christ. Why don't you pray with me? Father, we come right now just lifting up the name of Jesus. Thanking you for this preacher. Thanking you for this shepherd that you've sent this way. To give us a word that has informed our mind, challenged our heart, convicted our soul. I pray, Lord, that if someone out there is wrestling with the next stage of the decision, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would draw them from where they are, out of darkness into the marvelous light. Oh God, I plead the blood of Jesus over everyone under the sound of my voice, and I ask, God, that you would have your way in Jesus' sweet and wonderful name. Let the people of God say amen, amen, and amen. The choir continues to sing. We ask that you would trust God and let go and step forward if you want to make a decision for Him. I'm not talking about joining a church. I'm talking about giving your life to Christ. Anyone here? Anyone here? Come to mom. To Christ. Amen. I'm just going to give you one more appeal. As you take your seat, go ahead and take your seat. I want to say to someone, look at God today.